The simple fact of success or failure is that you become what you think about most of the time. All causation in your life is mental. The quality of your thinking determines the quality of your life and everything that happens to you. All change, all improvement in your life begins with changing the dominant thoughts that you hold in your conscious mind. In this session, we're going to be talking about the psychology of success and how you can develop the kind of mindset and mental attitude that's consistent with high performance, high achievement, and superior thinking skills. In all of the studies of thousands of successful men and women that have been conducted, it was found that they all have a tendency to think differently and act in different ways from less successful people. We also know that if you find out what successful people do and you do it yourself, you're very likely going to get the same results. If you learn how to operate a computer, touching the same buttons and entering the same commands as a person who is an expert with the computer doesn't care. The computer will give the same quality of results no matter who the operator is, if the operator does the right things in the right way. In the first part of this course, I talked about some of the mental laws that affect and determine what happens to us and the people we become. We know that in order to have something, as Goethe said, you must first be something. It is in becoming the kind of person inside who's consistent with the kind of results you want to enjoy on the outside that you move most rapidly toward your success. We also know that you can create your own mental set, your inner attitudes of mind, brick by brick, by using some of the personal development techniques and methods that I've taught you so far. The law of belief, perhaps the most important of all laws and a subset of the law of cause and effect, says that whatever you believe with emotion becomes your reality. Successful men and women are characterized by having very deep levels of faith and conviction, a strong belief that they are capable of achieving their goals and that they deserve to be successful. We know that if you intensely believe that you are destined for great success, then there's virtually nothing that can stop you from achieving it. We also know that you build up your beliefs bit by bit by the thoughts and images that you hold in your conscious mind minute to minute and hour to hour. The law of expectation says that whatever you expect with confidence tends to become your own self-fulfilling prophecy. Your expectations exert a very powerful influence on the people around you and cause them to act and behave in a manner consistent with your expectations. We know that winners and high achievers have an attitude of positive self-expectancy most of the time. They calmly and confidently believe and expect themselves to succeed, to win, no matter what the external difficulty. When you develop an attitude of looking for the good in each situation and expecting the best from each person and each challenge you meet, you will seldom be disappointed. When you begin looking into every setback or disappointment for the valuable lesson, for the opportunity or advantage you can gain, you'll start to become an inverse paranoid, a person who is convinced that the world is conspiring to do you good. Your expectations will have an inordinate impact on what happens to you and around you. The law of concentration says that whatever you dwell upon grows and expands in your reality. Whatever thoughts and emotions you think about and concentrate on most of the time tend to objectify themselves or appear in your external world. Successful men and women are those who dwell upon the things that they want to accomplish and the successes they wish to experience. They dwell upon the good side of every situation. They think about the things they love and enjoy and want more of. Unsuccessful and unhappy men and women are those who, unfortunately, dwell upon, who think about and talk about negative and unhappy things most of the time. It's no surprise that negative people seem to experience a continuous run of what they call bad luck. No matter how hard they try on the outside to change things, as long as they keep the inside negative, they seem to have nothing but negative and unhappy experiences, and whatever they dwell upon or think about most of the time comes true in their lives. The law of substitution says that you can replace a negative thought with a positive thought. It says that the conscious mind can only hold one thought at a time, positive or negative, and you can consciously choose the quality or caliber of the thoughts that you hold in your mind. This law allows you to knock negative thoughts out of your mind by consciously and deliberately selecting a positive thought or image and dwelling upon it instead. This law of substitution is terribly important. It offers you the key to a positive mental attitude. It enables you to choose the ongoing content of your conscious mind and to keep it consistent with what you want to experience in your life. The law of habit says that, in the absence of a definite decision on your part, you will continue to behave and think the same way indefinitely. It says that everything we do is the result of habit, that successful people are those who have developed positive habits of thinking and acting, and unsuccessful people are simply those who have developed negative or destructive habits of thinking and acting. Habit is very powerful and hard to break, and the most important habits in determining what happens to you are your habit patterns of thinking and reacting to various situations. A wonderful thing about the law of habit is that once you have, through discipline and conscious control, developed a new positive habit, it locks in and takes on a power of its own, leading you onward to success and happiness. It's a truism that good habits are hard to form, but easy to live with. Bad habits, on the other hand, are easy to form, but hard to live with. The key to success with regard to habit is to form good habits and make them your masters. The law of emotion says that everything you do as a result of an emotional decision, either positive or negative. This law says that the two primary emotions that motivate your behavior are the emotion of fear and the emotion of desire. The final law I want to remind you of is the law of reversibility. This law says that just as feelings generate actions, actions generate feelings. This law says that if you feel positive and cheerful, then you will act and behave in a positive and cheerful way. However, if you start off not feeling particularly positive, you can pretend or act as if you already were positive and cheerful, and the very actions will generate a backflow effect that triggers the feelings consistent with them. For example, if you pretend to be happy, if you act as if you were already happy, in a few short minutes, usually less than 10, you will actually feel happy and positive about yourself and your life. This incredible law of reversibility, this principle which says you can act your way into feeling and eventually believing anything you want, is the key to the... In a recent issue of Personal Selling Power magazine, Dr. Seymour Epstein of the University of Massachusetts at Amherst reported on the results of a constructive thinking inventory issued to two groups, one group of superachievers and another group of ordinary or below-average achievers. In his study, Dr. Epstein points out the differences in the thinking styles between the two groups of people. Based on his study, Dr. Epstein's conclusions with regard to superachievers are that, first, they enjoy greater financial success. They earn more money and are happier with their money than underachievers or average achievers. Second, they enjoy greater family success. They get more pleasure out of their family lives. Third, they enjoy more life success, finding more meaning and purpose in life and enjoying a greater sense of contribution. Fourth, they enjoy greater work success and work more effectively than underachievers or average achievers. And fifth, superachievers enjoy more social success. They have better social skills and they get along better with a greater number of different kinds of people. Superachievers turn out to be happier, wealthier, and more successful because of the way they think. And the major part of this research was an examination of how superachievers think differently from average achievers. Apparently, they think differently in 9 specific ways. First, superachievers have a greater capacity for coping with disapproval. They think in ways that make them far less sensitive to disapproval and rejection. They brush off rejection more quickly. They don't get upset by it, and they don't worry as much about what other people think of them. This is, of course, because superachievers have higher levels of self-esteem and self-confidence than the average person. The second way that superachievers think differently is they engage in more action-oriented thinking. They think in ways that facilitate effective action. They don't spend a lot of time worrying about a deadline. Instead, they go ahead and do the work and get the job done. The third way that superachievers think differently is that they use effective thoughts to cope with negative emotions. Their thoughts are more focused on the task at hand. In effect, they use the law of substitution to keep their thinking focused on what they can do something about, rather than worrying about the things over which they have no control. If they can't do anything about a negative situation, they don't worry about it, they just move on with their lives. They don't dwell upon their mistakes, but instead they learn what they can from them, and then they get on with the rest of what they're doing. A fourth way that superachievers think differently from average achievers is that they engage in less superstitious thinking. They don't believe in black cats and walking under ladders. When something good is happening to them, they don't think that it will automatically be balanced with something bad. When something bad happens, they don't naturally assume that more bad things are likely to happen. Superachievers don't believe in either good omens or bad omens. The fifth way that superachievers think differently from average achievers is that they have better mental skills for coping with failure. They don't think that they're failures if they don't achieve their goals. If they do fail temporarily, they don't take failure very hard. Superachievers seem to view failure as an important part of learning, and they refuse to allow failure to lower their self-esteem and self-regard. As a result, they're ready and able to take reasonable risks and maintain a high level of productivity, even though there's a possibility that things won't work out. The sixth way that they think differently from average achievers is that superachievers engage in less categorical thinking, in that they don't restrict their thinking by establishing rigid patterns. Superachievers tend to be far more flexible in their thinking. They refuse to see the world as black and white, and they don't assume that there's only one right answer to every question. They allow themselves to trust others and accept people as they are without judging them. The seventh way of thinking of superachievers is that of practical optimism. They're generally positive toward themselves and their lives, and when things go well, they don't naively assume that things will always go well. They're able to see their actions and the world with a healthy, realistic perspective. They're positive thinkers, but they have their eyes wide open, and they're willing to deal with reality as it is, not as they wish it could be. The eighth way that superachievers think differently is that they are high on both optimism and planning. Superachievers think optimistically and plan purposefully. They look at challenges not as things to fear, but as opportunities to test themselves and to learn. They think encouraging thoughts in the face of difficulty and easily find ways to look at the positive side of life. Again, they use the law of substitution to keep their thinking positive, optimistic, and cheerful in the face of adversity and difficulty. They carefully think through future events in advance and imagine or visualize the best outcome while at the same time preparing for all eventualities. Finally, and ninth, superachievers tend to embrace new experiences more than average achievers. They leave their comfort zones more willingly and, as a result, become more familiar with the process of growing than others do. Superachievers think constructively, and as a result, they act constructively. Their levels of thinking determine their levels of success. There are six other thinking qualities that go hand in hand with high performance and high levels of financial success. The first quality of high performers in every walk of life is that they see themselves as self-employed. They accept 100% responsibility for the company or organization that they work for, even if they're only an employee. They act like they own the place. They take a high degree of responsibility for their companies and for their results. They look upon everything that happens in their organization as though it affected them personally. They prepare themselves for senior positions and self-employment by continually thinking about how they can improve their organization. They tend to be team players and results-focused. In fact, all good leaders were at one time good followers. Almost all good managers and owners of corporations were at one time excellent managers and employees of other companies. The Chinese expression says, "He who would rule must learn to obey." And Confucius also said that he who would be master must be servant of all. Only 3% of working Americans have this high-performance attitude of being self-employed, no matter who signs their paycheck. The fact is, however, that everyone is self-employed, whether they know it or not. From the first job you take to the day you retire, you are always self-employed. I learned many years ago that the biggest mistake you could ever make as an adult is to ever think that you work for anybody else but yourself. This idea that you work for a company rather than for yourself leads more people into underachievement, unhappiness, and frustration in their careers than any other single attitude. You are always the president of your own personal services corporation. You are responsible for going out into the marketplace and selling your product, that is, your services, to the highest bidder. From the time you take your first job, you are responsible for marketing your services, for research and development, that is, upgrading the value of your services, and for productivity. You're also responsible for promoting yourself in your best interests, and you're totally responsible for the results that your personal corporation is getting in the marketplace. Employers throughout America are watching and waiting for those rare few men and women who will come to work and treat the company like it belongs to them. All the opportunities that you could ask for will open up to you when you start taking full responsibility for your organization and for everything that happens inside it. A second quality of high performers versus lower performers is that high performers have a clear sense of direction in everything they're doing. By a clear sense of direction, I mean that high achievers have a career plan, a work plan, and a set of goals covering every area of their lives. High performers also have an unshakable level of optimism. They know that self-confidence, self-trust, and self-esteem are essential to success. Successful people develop and maintain positive mental attitudes by confidently expecting to gain something from every situation. They seek out the opportunity in every problem. They have an unshakable belief in themselves and in the future. A positive mental attitude is nothing more than a constructive response to stress and adversity. Whenever you respond in an optimistic or cheerful way when things go wrong, as they always will, you are demonstrating and developing the kind of unshakable optimism that is fundamental to your fulfilling your potential. The fourth attitude of high performers is that they are always teachable. Many self-made millionaires are only of average intelligence. Many of them did poorly in school. For that reason, they never became impressed by their own intelligence, as unfortunately many university graduates do. In fact, many people with better educations fall into what we call the intelligence trap. They become so convinced that they are more intelligent than the average that they actually use their intelligence against themselves. They get trapped in it. They create elaborate and complex rationalizations and excuses for not doing the things they should be doing if they want to be more successful in their careers. A fifth quality of high-performing men and women, and all self-made millionaires, is that they systematically develop mental and emotional resilience, and they bounce back from adversity. As my friend Charlie Jones says, it's not how far you fall, but how high you bounce that counts. Dr. Abraham Zelsnick of Harvard University did a study some years ago on the subject of disappointment. What he found was that the way you deal with disappointment is a very good predictor of whether or not you will be a success in life. He found that men and women who achieved great things in the course of their lives tended to respond to disappointment in a positive and constructive way very early. He found that men and women who were low achievers or non-achievers tended to allow themselves to be overwhelmed by disappointments and setbacks. They allowed external events to dictate the quality of their emotional lives. High performers refused to allow external conditions to determine the way they thought and felt about themselves. Perhaps the most powerful way to turn temporary failure into success and optimism is to immediately seek within the negative experience for the valuable lesson that you can learn to help you to be more successful in the future. If you look, you will always find something good that you can get out of even the worst difficulty. The searching for something good triggers the law of substitution and causes your mind to shift instantly from negative to positive to the mindset of the high performer. The sixth characteristic thinking style of high performers is that they develop high levels of persistence and determination. They resolve in advance that they will never, never give up. They know that the courage to persist in the face of adversity and disappointment is the one quality that more than anything will guarantee their success. Your greatest asset can be your willingness to stay at it longer than anyone else. And as we've said before, your persistence is your true measure of your belief in yourself and your ability to succeed. Whenever you persist beyond the point where you or anyone else would be expected to give up, you intensify and deepen your belief that you will ultimately be successful, and your belief soon becomes your reality. This brings us back to what we know is the true measure of how well you're doing as a human being, and that is your self-esteem. Your self-esteem is how much you like yourself, how much you respect yourself, and how much you consider yourself to be a valuable and worthwhile person. We know that the feeling of not being good enough is the feeling that holds us back more than anything else. Everything that you do to build and maintain high levels of self-esteem leads to the high levels of self-confidence that overcome the fear, doubt, and hesitation that block you from achieving the success that you really want. I've developed what I call the 7 keys to mental fitness. These are powerful reinforcement techniques that you can use every day to build your self-esteem and to keep yourself feeling positive, optimistic, and unstoppable. The first step is positive self-talk, positive affirmation. The quality of your emotional life is determined by the words you say when you talk to yourself. The average person's self-talk, unfortunately, is as much as 95% negative. But you can use the law of substitution to keep your inner dialogue racing along in a positive way and thereby create the emotional life that you desire. Some of the things that you can repeat to keep yourself feeling positive and keep your self-esteem at an all-time high are affirmations such as, I like myself, I like myself, I like myself. Another wonderful affirmation to repeat over and over is, I'm the best, I'm the best, I'm the best. When you repeat this affirmation often enough and with conviction, your subconscious mind goes to work to give you the thoughts and ideas to make your words become your reality. The second key to mental fitness is positive imaging, creating clear mental images of the person that you want to be and the things you want to have and do. All improvement in your life begins with an improvement in your mental pictures. When you clearly visualize something that you want and then emotionalize and get excited about this mental picture, you create a force field of energy that starts to draw you toward the goal and draw the goal toward you. You can also use mental rehearsal, visualizing yourself performing at your very best in your work or in your sports. The very best time to use mental rehearsal is just before going to sleep. As you fall off to sleep, see yourself going through the motions or actions of the following day at your very best. Visualize yourself as calm, controlled, positive, and relaxed in every situation. When you repeat this mental picture often enough, eventually the subconscious mind accepts the new picture as operating instructions and goes to work to make your thoughts, your emotions, and your body language, and even your posture consistent with your new mental picture. This is called directing the movies of your mind, and your imagination does become your preview of life's coming attractions. The third key to raising your self-esteem and keeping yourself feeling terrific is positive mental food. Feed your mind continually with positive books, magazines, and articles. Be very alert to what you watch, what you read, and what you listen to. The power of suggestion is very strong, and if you allow negative thoughts, pictures, words, and images from your external world into your mind, they will have a negative impact on your self-esteem. Always be asking yourself, is what I am reading, listening to, or watching helping me to become a better, smarter, and more positive person? If it's not, stop doing it. Remember, everything counts. The fourth key to high self-esteem is positive people. Dr. David McClelland of Harvard University concluded after 25 years of research that the people you choose to work with and to associate with will determine your success as much or more than any other factor. So, form positive reference groups. Surround yourself with the kind of people you like and admire and want to be like. Get away from negative people. Negative people with negative attitudes are the major source of most of life's problems and most of your unhappiness. Associating with positive people will make you a positive person as well. Associating with negative people will drag you down and may in itself ruin all of your chances for great success and happiness in life. The fifth key to mental fitness and high self-esteem is positive training and development. We know that you become what you think about, and that means that what you're taking into your mind on a continuous basis is determining your attitude and your personality. Whenever you're engaged in a course of personal and professional development, whenever you're reading and studying and learning, you tend to feel positive and motivated. The work conducted at Harvard University concluded that ongoing motivation comes from a feeling of personal and professional growth and development. Whenever you are growing, you feel good about yourself, and your self-esteem is at an all-time high. The sixth key to mental fitness is positive health habits. Vigorous physical exercise, especially aerobic exercise, releases endorphins in the brain and causes you to experience a generalized feeling of well-being, a natural high. Eating the right foods, getting the right sleep, and practicing the right health habits all make you feel much better about yourself. The seventh and final key to high self-esteem and mental fitness is positive action. There is really nothing quite like positive, constructive, continuous action toward your goals and objectives to give you a tremendous feeling of high self-esteem and positive energy. Remember, there's no substitute for action. All learning, all development, all study is merely preparation for taking constructive action in a specific direction toward achieving something that you want. The wonderful thing is that the habit of taking action, of being an action-oriented, result-oriented person, will not only make you feel terrific, but will virtually guarantee that you will achieve the goals that you set for yourself. The psychology of success is based on the fact that you are 100% responsible for who you are and for everything that happens to you. This means that you must take full charge of the quality and the content of your conscious mind and keep it predominantly optimistic and focused on what you desire. The psychology of success is rooted in self-control and self-mastery, your ability to choose the thoughts that you dwell upon and to form positive habits of thought and action which, when continuously followed, will lead on to great success and achievement. Your job is to do and say the things continuously that make you feel great about yourself. In the final analysis, feeling wonderful about yourself as a human being is the real meaning, the real psychology of success. Now, here is an action exercise for you. Take a pad of paper and draw a line down the center from top to bottom. On the left side of the line, make a list of everything in your life that you feel is positive and constructive, that makes you feel good about yourself, your work, your family, and your life. On the other side of the line, the right-hand column, write out every part of your life where you feel or suffer any negativity, stress, doubt, or fear. Then, go down the items on the right-hand side, the negative side, and circle the one or two items you feel are interfering the most with the success that you desire to achieve. Make a plan using the law of substitution, using the law of concentration, and using the techniques of affirmation and visualization to eradicate and eliminate those negative influences. Resolve right now to have the courage to begin and the willpower and determination to continue until you have eliminated those negative influences from your life. This decision to eliminate the major negative influences in your life can do more to help you achieve your success and happiness than any other exercise that you can engage in. There's an old story told by the ancient Greeks that supposedly happened when the world was new. The gods on Mount Olympus, having created the earth and man, the birds and animals, the creatures of the sea, the plants and flowers and all living things, had one thing left to do, and that was to hide the secret of life in such a place that it would not be found for many centuries, until man had grown and evolved in consciousness to the point where he was ready for it. The gods on Mount Olympus argued over where the secret of life should be hidden. One said, "Let's hide it on the highest mountain. Man will never find it there." But another god replied, "We have created man with insatiable curiosity and ambition, and he will eventually climb even the highest mountain." Then another god suggested that they should hide the secret of life at the bottom of the deepest ocean. To this, another god replied, "We have created man with boundless imagination and a burning desire to explore his world. Sooner or later, man will reach even the greatest ocean depths." Finally, one of the gods came up with a solution. "Let us hide the secret of life in the last place that man will ever look, a place that he will only come to when he has exhausted all other possibilities and is finally ready." "And where is that?" asked the other gods. To which the first god replied, "We will hide it deep in the human heart." And so they did. We know that for 5,000 years of recorded history, the wisest men and women of each civilization have preoccupied themselves with searching for the secret of the ages, the key that would enable them to unlock the vast treasure house of potential that lies untapped in every person. They have established brotherhoods and sisterhoods, secret societies, and private communities dedicated to exploring the last frontier and the first, the inner workings of the human mind. Many men and women spent their entire lives in religious communities, monasteries, and secret orders, going through elaborate rituals and initiations, during and after which small glimpses of the great secret would be revealed to them. More progress has been made in finding the secret of life in the 20th century than in all the previous centuries that man has been on the earth. The secret of the ages, the key to health, happiness, and prosperity for you and me, has been found deep in the human heart, deep in what we call the subconscious mind. Today, principles and techniques that were guarded and only made available to a tiny number of carefully selected people are available to all of us. We've been talking about some of the most important of these principles throughout this course, and now it's time to go a little deeper. Now it's time to learn how to turn the key of personal transformation so that you can bring about rapid and permanent changes in your inner, and by extension, your outer life. You've already learned that for you to benefit the most from these techniques, you need intense, burning desire for personal improvement and a willingness to pay the price in terms of discipline and dogged determination. In addition, you've learned that you also need the ability to trust and to persist patiently, confidently, knowing that there is a cumulative effect to all of your efforts and that you will ultimately achieve the riches and rewards that you desire. The first step toward making this information available to everyone who sincerely wants it was made by a doctor named Emile Couet in Geneva around 1895. His medical clinic was achieving recovery rates averaging 5 times faster than any other similar hospital or clinic in Europe. His technique was so simple that for a long time it was simply not believed or accepted. He taught each of his patients to say throughout the day, "Every day, in every way, I'm feeling better and better." The doctors and nurses would greet each patient by saying, "Every day, in every way, you're looking better and better." As simple as this sounds, it seemed to work wonders in bringing about rapid healing and recuperation from a variety of major and minor illnesses. The success of Dr. Couet led to work by another doctor, Johannes Schultz, on additional methods to accelerate healing. Dr. Schultz was also a psychologist and was looking for ways to help people overcome depression, neurosis, anxiety, and other mental conditions that were making them unhappy and ineffective. What Dr. Schultz found was that the more relaxed a person was while feeding his or her mind with the words, "Every day and every way I'm feeling better and better," the faster that patient recovered. Over several years of experimentation, Dr. Schultz developed the process that has become known as autogenic conditioning. What Dr. Schultz found was that if you use a systematic process of deep relaxation and then encourage the patient to visualize and affirm positive, constructive messages consistent with the new self-image that person desired, rapid and permanent changes could take place in their personality and behavior. Autogenic conditioning was developed in Europe and is extremely popular in most European countries. It has been developed today to such a sophisticated degree that it's now being used to help people in a variety of diverse situations, from mental disorders to sales, public speaking, and even athletic training. One of the reasons why autogenic conditioning works so well is that it utilizes a vitally important mental law, the law of relaxation. This law says that in all mental working, effort defeats itself. It's exactly the opposite of the way things work in the physical world. For example, if you wish to drive a nail into a board, the harder you hit the nail, the faster and deeper it will penetrate. However, if you wish to develop a new habit pattern of thought, the more you relax or don't try while you are visualizing and affirming, the faster the thought seems to be accepted by the subconscious mind. Let me give you an example of a simple technique that has had a tremendous impact on my life and the lives of many others. It is so powerful that it should be taught to everyone, because it is almost infallible in enabling you to achieve your goals, to conquer worry and fear, and to experience calmness, confidence, and self-control. This technique is based on another application of the law of reversibility. The first application of the law of reversibility is that just as feelings generate actions consistent with the feelings, actions generate feelings consistent with the actions. The law of reversibility, in its simplest sense, says that you can act your way into feeling, and the feeling will then generate the actions consistent with it. It's an important part of mental programming. Now, the second application of the law of reversibility is that just as an objective state, an actual this is exactly the same way that you rapidly program your new self-concept and your goals into the deeper levels of your subconscious mind, where they lock in and take on a power of their own. The emotional component is critical. It is the calm, confident, expectant, positive emotion combined with relaxation that activates this capacity for rapid change, which is followed very quickly, sometimes instantaneously, by the physical manifestation on the outside of your desired result. Here's a 5-step process that you can use to apply this method for rapid personal change and goal attainment. Step 1, verbalize and affirm your desired outcome. For example, if you're wrestling with a problem involving someone else, you could say calmly and confidently, "This situation is resolved happily with good for all concerned." Step 2, visualize and clearly see the outcome you desire in this situation. See yourself and everyone else in your mind's eye, happy and completely at peace with the outcome. Step 3, emotionalize your combined affirmation and visualization by creating the feeling that you would actually experience when everything is resolved happily. Step 4, release the situation from your mind with complete faith. This is the trigger in the process. Let it go just as you would if someone in whom you had complete confidence said that he or she would take care of it and that you needn't ever think about it again. Step 5 is realization, or the appearance in your outer world of the solution. The realization or manifestation of your desire happens in direct proportion to the degree to which you have completely released all concern for the outcome and turned your mind to other things. As it says in the Bible, according to your faith, it is done unto you. This attitude of calm, confident expectation that all will be well is an experience of higher consciousness. Some religious people refer to this as prayer, and it's said that prayer is the highest form of affirmation. Ralph Waldo Trine called this state of consciousness in tune with the infinite in the title of his book. It doesn't matter for now what you call it. All that matters is that it works with amazing consistency. There are a series of techniques that have been developed over the years that you can also use to activate and accelerate this process of subconscious realization. The first is called the written affirmation technique. This consists of sitting with a pad of paper or a notebook, preferably in the morning, and writing out a clear, present tense description of your ideal major definite purpose or goal exactly as you would like to see it in reality. The description can be as long or as short as you like. You can also write a present tense description of the way you would like to see the events of the day come out, or how you would look and feel with new qualities of personality that you desire. Then put down your pen, close your eyes, take 3 deep breaths, and visualize your major definite purpose as accomplished, or the events of the day unfolding satisfactorily. As you visualize, create within yourself the feeling that would go with your imagined success. Smile and enjoy the pleasure of the emotion that would accompany the achievement of your goals. Then, release it completely, let it go, open your eyes, and carry on with your day. Writing is a powerful way to imprint your goals on your subconscious mind. Countless people have had the experience of writing out a list of goals for the year on January 1st, just once, and then rereading the list at the end of the year and finding that most of the goals have somehow been achieved. But the more often you write out your goals, the more rapidly they materialize. Many of our seminar graduates have been astonished at how rapidly their lives begin to move forward once they start using this technique. Many of them have said that things happen so fast that it often leaves them breathless with excitement and anticipation. Try it yourself and see. The second method of mental programming you can use is called the Standard Affirmation Technique. This technique is simple and consists of writing out your goals in bold black letters on a series of 3x5 index cards. Write them as affirmations in the present tense and in a language that is as simple as possible. This method is used twice per day, morning and evening. Find a place where you can be alone and quiet for a few minutes. This time, take 7 deep breaths, exhaling slowly, sitting comfortably with your cards in your lap. Then, read the first of your goal cards. Close your eyes and repeat it to yourself 5 times. Visualize your goal as it would be if it were already achieved. Imagine how you would walk, talk, and act if the goal were a reality right now. Emotionalize your picture of the goal and create the feeling of pleasure and happiness that would accompany successful accomplishment of the goal. Then take another deep breath, exhale, and release the goal. Do this with each of your goals. Your subconscious mind can work effectively in this way on 10 to 15 goals at a time. Ideally, you'll be using the goals from the goal-setting exercises that you've completed earlier in this program. This entire exercise should not take more than 30 to 60 seconds for each goal, for a maximum of 15 minutes if you have 15 goals. If you do this in the morning before starting out, you will be signaling your subconscious mind to activate the law of attraction and alert your reticular cortex to be acutely aware of anything going on around you during the day that could help you to accomplish one or more of your goals. If you do it again in the evening, especially immediately prior to sleeping, your subconscious mind will work on your goals during the night, often bringing you ideas and solutions in the morning when you wake up. The third method you can use to bring about rapid change in your performance and in your situation is called the Quick Affirmation Technique. This is something that you can do prior to any non-recurring event of importance, like a sales call or a meeting with your boss. This technique, by the way, is used by professional speakers, actors, entertainers, and peak-performing business people to prepare themselves for upcoming events where it's important that they be at their best. The Quick Affirmation Technique simply consists of telescoping the mental preparation methodology that we have discussed. You can do it in less than 30 seconds, sometimes in 3. In your car, in the elevator, or even in the washroom, close your eyes, affirm, visualize, emotionalize, and release. See and feel the event working out successfully. Then, go into the meeting with calmness and confidence. If you have an important presentation or interview coming up in a few days, every time you think about it, you should use this technique instead of looking forward with nervousness and anxiety. Use the law of substitution and perform the quick affirmation technique. As you get closer and closer to the actual day and hour, you will find yourself gaining in confidence and self-assurance. By the time the actual event arrives, you will be amazed at how well you perform and how, ideally, it turns out. The fourth technique for subconscious programming is called autogenic conditioning. As we discussed earlier, it's a more elaborate process that involves systematically relaxing your entire body before affirming, visualizing, emotionalizing, and releasing. In its simplest form, you can get all of the benefits of autogenic conditioning by assuming a comfortable position, either sitting or lying in a comfortable chair or on a bed. Close your eyes, breathe deeply, and begin talking to the six parts of your body: your left arm, your right arm, your left leg, your right leg, your chest, and your head. These are the words you use. My left arm is becoming heavy and warm. 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 My left arm is now heavy and warm. My left arm is now heavy and warm. Each time you inhale deeply and exhale, you say one command. Repeat this process with each of the other five parts of your body, going from your left arm to your right arm, then from your left leg to your right leg, then to your chest, and finally to your head and neck. In less than 10 minutes, you will have talked your body down to a deep level of relaxation, and your mind will be in the alpha state, which means that you are ready for deep programming. This technique is sometimes called self-hypnosis or autosuggestion, and is extremely effective in two areas. First of all, it helps people overcome fears and anxieties associated with relationships, work, money, health, and will even help such problems as call reluctance in salespeople. Second, it's used to accelerate the development of motor skills in sports, for example, such as tennis, golf, skiing, hockey, figure skating, football, and even public speaking. It's a form of mental rehearsal, practicing the movements over and over again in your mind, visualizing perfect performance every time, and programming that image of excellence into your subconscious mind. Since your subconscious mind can't tell the difference between a real experience and one that is vividly imagined, especially one that is vividly imagined when you are deeply relaxed, the subconscious merely accepts the command as a prelude to future action. The next time you actually perform the action, you'll be amazed at how much more relaxed and competent you are. Most gold medal Olympic athletes use this technique or something similar to it. Successful business people use this technique to give themselves the psychological advantage in any meeting, negotiation, or confrontation. When you try it yourself for the first time, you will be pleased and amazed at the results you get. The fifth method is called heterogenic conditioning, which means conditioning or programming by someone other than yourself. Your entire self-concept has been formed largely as the result of two primary suggestions: auto-suggestion, the things that you have said to yourself and believed, and heterosuggestion, the things that other people have said to you that you have believed. To bring about positive internal and external change, heterogenic conditioning is extremely helpful. Some of the examples of heterogenic conditioning that you're already aware of are things that your parents, your older relatives, your teachers, or other people you respect have told you. Another example is listening to an audio cassette program in which the speaker uses the word you, just as I do throughout this course. Another example of heterogenic conditioning is listening to a lecture or to a speaker live who continually says you. Whenever you hear the word you attached to a message, it has the possibility of influencing your subconscious mind. That's why I said earlier that you must never allow anyone to say anything about you to you that you do not sincerely desire to be true. You're dealing with very powerful principles here, and you must only use them in a positive and beneficial way. During the 50s and 60s in Bulgaria, a psychologist named Georgi Lazanov conducted extensive research on the process by which we learn and permanently record information. He was intrigued by the fact that Muslim students were able to memorize and recite the entire Quran, a book the size of the New Testament, prior to entering a Muslim university. Lazanov found that there are entire religions in India with no written materials. The masters and disciples of these religions passed down their teachings orally from one generation to the next. He met people who could recite religious teachings for hours with no reference to notes. As Lazanov progressed, he became interested in dual brain laterality, the fact that we have both a right and a left hemisphere in our brains, and they perform different functions. The left brain, he found, is the logical, linear, practical brain. It's responsible for reasoning, analysis, and calculating. It's the mathematical, verbal, sequential, pragmatic, and skeptical side of the brain. It's responsible for processing facts, and it's concrete and straightforward. It's the no-nonsense or engineering side of the brain. The right hemisphere of the brain, on the other hand, thinks in terms of pictures and stories. It is holistic, dealing with all aspects of an idea or situation simultaneously. The right brain is intuitive, musical, and creative. The right brain is the artistic, abstract, and imaginative side of the brain. The left brain seems to be stimulated by intense, logical, linear presentation of information. The right brain seems to process information best in a state of relaxation. What Lazanov discovered was that it was when both brains were working together that rapid learning took place. Lazanov went on to pioneer research into the various levels of brainwave activity, beta, alpha, theta, and delta. He found that in our normal waking state, beta, the brain functions at 14 waves per second or faster. In alpha, the relaxed or meditative state just below beta, the brain functions at 8 to 13 waves per second. This seemed to be the ideal learning state. The theta level is 5 to 7 waves per second, and in delta, the state of deep sleep, the brain waves slow to 1/2 to 4 waves per second. Lazanov was interested in accelerating the speed at which the brain took in and stored new information. As a result of his research, he developed what is today called superlearning, or accelerated learning, by combining the findings we just discussed. Lazanov discovered that if you could put a person into a deep state of relaxation into alpha, where they're still awake, and then teach new information while gentle classical music played in the background, the right and left brains would synchronize, and learning would take place at a rapid rate. His experiments involved having classes of adults sit deeply relaxed with their eyes closed while music played softly in the room. Then the instructor would read lists of words in a foreign language, repeating them in different ways. Afterwards, the students would be brought to full alertness, back up into beta, and tested for retention. Learning this way, the students retained 98% of the new words. In 1969, Lazanov was able to teach students 150 words per three-hour session, which is easily 3 to 5 times the rate of learning in a traditional language school. Later, by using his techniques, he increased the learning rate to 500 words per day and then to 1,000 new words in a single day simply by using relaxation, music, and repetition with a selected class of students. In 1974, Lazanov got the learning rate up to 1,800 words in one day with 98% retention, almost perfect memory. In 1979, Lazanov was able to teach a class 3,000 words, the equivalent of fluency in a foreign language, in a single day. And even 6 months afterwards, these students, on retesting, could still recall 60% of what they had learned versus the 10% recall rate that would occur in an American university. The work of Lazanov demonstrated that you can bring about rapid learning, not only of facts and information, but as we've found, of new behavior and mental habits by combining words with music. You can, in fact, by using a combination of affirmations, music, and relaxation, program yourself to achieve your goals and improve your personality at an accelerated rate of change. This method is a form of heterogenic conditioning. The form of heterogenic conditioning that I recommend, and which has been extremely helpful to me personally and to many thousands of my seminar graduates as well, is the use of taped affirmations with music. There are two ways that you can use this particular method. The first is subliminal tapes, which I do not recommend, not because they are or are not effective, but because you simply do not know what message is on the tape. Some of the expensive tapes which are sold in the mass marketplace have been found to have no message on them at all. The second method of taped affirmation with music is called progressive relaxation. With this method, a voice on the tape, which you can hear clearly, counts you down into a state of deep relaxation against a background of gentle classical music. This activates the right brain and drops you into a state of alpha. While you're in this state of relaxed awareness, the positive messages combined with music bypass your critical conscious mind and go straight into your subconscious mind, bringing about rapid and noticeable change. Taped affirmation with music is healthy and refreshing in its own right. At the end of a series of positive messages, the voice counts you back to full alertness. You open your eyes feeling relaxed, refreshed, and happy. The wonderful thing about taped affirmation is that it is effortless and easy. A typical taped affirmation process is only about 20 minutes long. It's a form of active meditation, and if you do it twice a day, morning and evening, you will be more positive, more relaxed, more creative, and in far better control of your emotions. Many of your minor ailments will clear up, and I'm aware of cases where major illnesses disappeared when a person started using this technique of deep relaxation on a regular basis. Another advantage of using this method is that you can create your own affirmation tapes and put your own goals onto them. You simply play relaxing music that you have chosen on one record or tape player while you read your affirmations with the music in the background onto a second tape player. It's very hard to make a mistake, and even a homemade tape can be very effective in programming you to achieve your goals. Sometimes people ask me which of these methods they should use. My answer is that you should use as many of them as you feel comfortable with, and whichever one is most convenient at any given time. Ideally, your entire day should be one continuous positive affirmation. You should be walking and talking and acting in a positive manner, visualizing and feeling enthusiastic about everything you do. Your mental movies, combined with emotionalization, are the previews of your life's coming attractions. Your biggest single job is to exert the self-control, the self-mastery, and the self-discipline to keep your words, thoughts, and pictures off of what you don't want and focus squarely on what you do want. Add to this a dash of confident expectation, and you're on your way to a positive mental attitude and a great life. Here's an exercise for you. Take a specific situation in your life, an upcoming event, or something that's worrying you and making you tense. Every time you think about it, apply the quick affirmation technique and release it. Do this until the event has passed successfully or the situation has been resolved satisfactorily. Then, teach this method to one other person and encourage them to use it as well until they get the same result. Next, get yourself a package of 3x5 index cards. There are packages available with spiral binding that you can make into your own affirmation book. Write out your goals, one per card, in clear, present tense language. Then, review them twice per day using the standard affirmation technique until you start to see your goals materializing around you. Make your own progressive relaxation goal tape with music. Listen to it at least once per day, and you'll soon start to get results. With these affirmation techniques, your potential is unlimited. You unlock powers of your mind that may have lain dormant for years. You can achieve goals that might have been impossible before. Just try them and see for yourself.